everybody, and welcome to the Niche Podcast, about the one thing that I know something about: game shows, I suppose. I'm your host, Jordan Haas. Today's episode's very strange, to say the least. We're talking dog eat dog. It's a dog eat dog world out there, and this is the game show Dog Eat Dog. Now, this is going to be one of the other weird episodes because I have seen an episode. I've also don't really have much information to really go off of. So is this going to be one of those, I read the wikis and I guess people will listen? I don't know. Because for me, it's an interesting game show, but I think the issue is to explain it is kind of just easy. It's an easy game show kind of deal. So we got to take you back to a time when Circuit City was all the rage. We also got to take you to a time when Brooke Burns was considered a model and not really a game show host. So the game show is Dog Eat Dog. Now, this is going to surprise you, but Dog Eat Dog is actually a British game show. It made its debut in 2001. The appeal of this show was it was a Saturday night kind of silly kind of show. And the idea was that they had, it's the easiest is there's six contestants. Basically, this was at the time of Weakest Link. This was like a spin-off Weakest Link show on BBC One. There are six contestants, and then there's a different challenge. Then the contestants of the six vote on which contestant they feel cannot perform the challenge. They are rooting for the person to fail the challenge. When it happens, it becomes the one ends up voting. Now, in the event of a tie, the losing bench will make the deciding vote. But besides that, let's just go straight to... They do a challenge, and it's kind of like either a physical challenge, like make 20 baskets in basketball, or kick a ball, or answer some crossword puzzles. This is the British version I'm telling you about right now. And if you win, you stay in the game, and you get to vote out one of the people that voted for you. However, if you fail the challenge, you are... in the loser's bench, which will later become the dog pound in the NBC version. So, it becomes this game where it's all about who do you know in the game? Who do you think can fail? And how you play manipulation in the game. So once it becomes two remaining players... a final challenge is like a head-to-head challenge to determine who is the quote-unquote top dog. And then comes the second half, which is the final round, which is the... I don't really have a name for it. I like to call it the dog-eat-dog round. It's the final round. It's the player who's the top dog versus the loser's bench. And there's a category, and then the contestant picks a player to answer that question. And if they're right... The bench gets the point. If they're wrong, the player gets a point. So kind of like Street Smarts on Who Blew It. If the top winner can get 3 points, they get £10,000. However, if the opposing, the team of five eliminated players gets it right, they get to split the £10,000 prize, meaning £2,000 each. It lasted 30 episodes, yet it's somehow fondly remembered, not for its original British version, but for its Americanized version. So, in the Americanized version of Dog Eat Dog, and by the way, they also had one in Australia. No one really cares about Olika Johnson, but let me tell you about the Australian version. There's a math challenge, a word challenge, a climbing challenge, and a logic challenge. And then there's a face-off and a $50,000 prize. And it becomes the final round, the little quiz round, just like it. But they split $50,000. No, the one that everyone remembers seems to be the NBC edition of Dog Eat Dog, because it was executive produced by Matt Kunitz, who at the time was really launching off the success of Fear Factor. We've already talked about Fear Factor here on the Patreon, because Fear Factor was, of course, Now or Neverland, and it became like an imported version. So this was another let's import a version and air it here. This one was filmed at NBC Studios, by the way. This was filmed at the, like, right next door to Tonight Show with Jay Leno. So in this version of Dog Eat Dog, this is the one that people very remember, because mostly how provocative the game can get. So for the remaining part of this entire show, we're just going to be sticking to the American version, because that's the one that most people kind of remember. Not really for its original airtime on NBC, but for its repeats on the Game Show Network. So, hi. In the Americanized version of the game presented by Matt Kunitz, it takes the format of Dog Eat Dog, which is six players vote for someone they fail until five are in the elimination room and one is the top dog, and then do a quiz round. They keep that format in play, which is actually a really cool game mechanic, and I will get into that game mechanic later. But because this has to be NBC and it has to be Fear Factorized, it's so over the top. So the set, the music, every package feels industrial. Lots of clang-ins, a lot of drums, lots of snares, and lots of like spotlight headlights and a giant like circle. And the challenge is, instead of being like the Australian or the UK version, where it's more like cerebral, it's more math based, it's more focused on like slight physical challenge, like a foot race or a silly physical challenge, the silly physical challenges become more Fear Factor-ish. Now, I will say something that is actually kind of endearing to the Dog Eat Dog. There is no Oh No Snakes and Spiders. That became like kind of an annoying part of Fear Factor. Now, this is early Fear Factor, so who knows, they might have done Oh No Snakes and Spiders or some sort of anxiety kind of thing. No, they do have overlaying fears, though. But instead of going into a gross out, they go with three types: fear of heights, fear of drowning, and nudity. Those are the three that I've normally see, because there are always some sort of weird wire-based thing across this weird pool that's in the set. That's kind of what like 90% of the challenges involve. Like one challenge involves answering trivia questions and you're running on a treadmill as you answer questions. I think you have to get like five correct answers in like under a time limit too. However, if you get a question wrong or pass, the treadmill gets faster, but you still have to keep up. If you fall off the treadmill, you're eliminated. If you don't get the questions in time, you're eliminated. Like, something like that, because now there's a visual as you answer the trivia questions. One was, like, identify the photos of celebrities, but they kind of Photoshop. One has to basically run on treadmill and not fall. There's one where it was, they're like stuck wedged, and if they get a question wrong, the wedges go down. But they have to hang on. If they fall after like 90 seconds, it's over. There's a game where, and it's, boy, does it hold up, called He or She, where it was basically, here's six models, but one of them's a cross-dresser, because I guess NBC in 2002 or 2003 cannot figure out what transgender identities are. So they went with the, ooh, I can't believe it, oh, the he's a she, oh, it was shit. I fucking hate those challenges. And speaking of the other not held up well challenges are the strip games. I think that is, of anything, what people remember most about Dog Eat Dog, is that there's a physical challenge, like throw a football into like the giant circle on set, And if you can complete three of them, you win, but you need a football. And for that, you need an article of clothing. And if you go naked, you get like a bonus three. And that's supposed to make things provocative. Same thing with golf. You have to putt. And the more clothes you remove, the closer you are to the hole. And if you go all the way naked, you get like 1 foot close to the hole, but you still have to putt. Same thing with basketball and all the way up to like a single layup. It's and then at strip trivia, you get it right, or you, it just all sorts of just, there's almost like once in a while, like darts or cornhole or hangman. It just became like a really stupid idea and I really hated it. Now, luckily, from what I remember, season two, they decided to get rid of it. Season two of Dog Eat Dog was actually kind of trying to go more for the physical challenges rather than just, whoops, you screwed up kind of deals. So it's supposed to be a mix of trivia with a physical element. So therefore, it was like two parts. Season one was really just one notes, like, hey, you have to swing on a pendulum and make a full like rotation, and you have 2 minutes. Or there was one game where it was you have to like bungee jump into the pool and grab hula hoops, and if you can grab like the three hoops or five hoops or whatever amount of hoops, you win. It just was kind of. It's okay. I think the challenges on Dog Eat Dog were kind of okay, because you have to assume they were in set, but at the same time, it doesn't hold up. But the thing is, what I liked about Dog Eat Dog, in terms of the challenge standpoint, was they did simplify the game to fit a perfect six-act structure. Game one, and then one elimination. Game two, the second elimination. Game three, the third elimination. Game four, the fourth elimination. Act five was the head-to-head challenge to determine top dog. And then game six is the final quiz to determine who wins the 25,000. That's right. Australians gave away 50,000. We gave away 25,000. Which, I mean, at the time, felt very kind of okay for a primetime game show. I think nowadays it'd be 50,000 because that's the Matt Kunis standard of game show prize money. Although I think they are giving 25,000 on Wipeout, so whatever anymore, right? So I do enjoy the creativity of like taking the Fear Factor challenges that I kind of liked, you're being suspended on a crane and it bungee into the pool. I kind of like those challenges on Fear Factor, so they kind of just made them more safer and indoors, and I think that made it cheaper because you can record multiple episodes a day. Of course, knowing how game shows work, I'm sure it didn't last an hour. I'm sure a whole tape day took maybe 5 to 6 hours because they had to set up the props in each round. Also, like every Fear Factor challenge, they had to make sure every contestant was ripped dude or cool bro or sexy girl that can look good in a bikini or naked. it's vomit inducing. The head-to-head challenges on the Act 5 are kind of endurance competitions you would normally see on any other game show, like stand on a pedestal the longest. Holding on a bar and then it gets rained on you if you let go first, you're out. Climb up a wall and then clee and then drop down, open the box. Then there was one where they had to hold their breath underwater. And this is the one that was the challenge that actually kind of almost canceled the show prematurely. So if I remember correctly, and I'm just throwing a, I'm this is just a fizzy story. The challenge was hold your breath underwater and you have a weight. The second you let go of the weight, the safety mechanism would bungee jump you into the water and the game is over. Because you dropped the thing. You didn't hold your breath long enough. So a contestant dropped the weight and they went unconscious. The bungee did not release to send them upward, so the lifeguards had to drag them and take them to a nearby hospital. Don't you love to see that on your game show? A contestant nearly drowned on your fun, lighthearted game show that's supposed to be paired with Fear Factor. Yeah. So in that episode, I think it was like four contestants, and Brooke had to make the announcement of, if it goes to the fifth, you get to pick any of the four. It was not good. It kind of, to say the least, kind of sucked. But because it's $25,000, it can be split to $5,000 each, or the top dog can win $25,000. Isn't that exciting? Now let me just quickly look at the Game Show Wiki here. According to the Game Show Wiki, there's... opening spiels. Hang on, let me try and do the Brooke Burns. Because I guess I'm going to try my audition for the reboot of Dog Eat Dog. All right, season one. Hello and welcome to Dog Eat Dog. Any of our contestants could leave the studio tonight with $25,000. But to do so, they must exploit everything they know about their opponents. To give our players the chance to size each other up, we sent them away to a training camp where we tested their physical, mental, and social skills. Think of it as a getting to know your enemies. Or at least, what they've chosen to reveal. And that's... Yeah, I mean, I remember that camp. It was kind of hokey, because it was just kind of like a... I think they went to the Malibu, that little ropes course place, because I think they just wanted to just show pool and then, like, ropes and them doing... And I remember they vividly had to show 10 seconds of everyone doing a trivia game and then showing their percentages on categories. All right. Let me try this. Here's season two. They changed it because they decided not to leave the studio. They just said could win. All right. Hi, I'm Brooke Burns. Welcome to Dog Eat Dog. Any of our six contestants could win $25,000 tonight, but to do so, they have to exploit everything they know about their opponents. Yesterday, we sent them away to camp where they got to see each other in action. Think of it as getting to know your enemies. Or, at least what they've chosen to reveal. I think it needs to be, like, a mix of both. It needs to be, exploit everything known about their opponents. I think they don't need to even do the camps. I just think they, because I think that whole, like, hey, let's get to know each other, no. Before the show, six players spend a day together at training camp. On the show, six players will be shown a challenge. After Brooke explained how a challenge works, the players will vote for the one who's most likely to fail. The player with the most votes must face that challenge. If they fail, the player is sent to the dog pound. If they succeed, someone who voted for them gets sent to the dog pound in their place, which was my favorite game mechanic. I love that game mechanic, and I'll explain that. I know. I will say that in a bit. If there was a tie, then it was broken by the player who was randomly selected before the show in round one, and by the player who was last sent to the dog pound in each round thereafter. The game is played in this manner until there are only two players who will compete against each other head-to-head in the fifth challenge. Player one that challenge becomes tonight's top dog, and the other sent to the dog pound in the final challenge. Five players must answer questions correctly to stop the top dog from winning $25,000 and split it among themselves. Category is shown if the top dog remembers. Must pick the member of the dog pound most likely to get the question wrong. If the member of the dog pound gets a question right, dog pound scores 1 point. First to three wins. You can't pick the same person twice. Ladder reel, contestant crawls. Oh, there's all these games. And set picks. I might have to use one of these for the podcast. I'm going to... I like some of these. These are actually really good photos. Like, really good set photos for Dog Eat Dog. I really should have decided, like... It looks like a weird game show. Like, it follows every generic game show that came out in, like, 2005 onward. Because it looks like a whole lot of blues and purples and set lights and then reds. And there's, like, a whole lot of different areas on the set. What I think is really smart, there's a fog. I forgot about the fog holes right there. Fog holes. That's right. The fog hole. And the, oh yeah, the little screen's looking all bent and industrial because they really want to do an industrial set. That's right. All right, let me just, there you go. Anyway, so let's go through some of the games played on the wiki, because I think there's catchphrases. Let me read some of these catchphrases before we get to the trivia questions. Here's how the game works. In each round, I'll show you a challenge. Then you guys vote for the person who you think is most likely to fail. Whoever gets the most votes has to face that challenge. If you fail, you're off to the dog pound. And you just kissed away your shot at 25 grand. But if you succeed, it's time for revenge, because you can send anyone who voted for you to the dog pound in your place. Got it? Let's play Dog Eat Dog. Oh, and then season 2. Welcome to the show, guys. Here's how tonight's game works. In each round, I'll show you a challenge. Then you guys vote for the person who you think is least likely to fail. Wait. Least likely to fail would be most likely to fail. Oh, Jesus Christ. Did they misread the... Okay. Here's how tonight's game works. I'll show you a challenge. Then you guys vote for the person who you think is least likely to fail. Whoever gets the most votes has to beat the challenge or end up in the dog pound. But if you beat the challenge, then it gets fun. It's time for revenge, because you can send anyone who voted for you to the dog pound in your place. Everyone got it? Got it. All right, let's play Dog Eat Dog. And then the catchphrase, it's time to choose the loser. Oh, yeah, and then there's that big old decision vote thing. Let's try it right now. It's time to vote the loser.
We'll see who's going to be hanging from their ankles when we return.
Sorry, I got that receipt in here somewhere. Driver's license, bus transfer, dollar off fish sticks.
Actually?
Floss. Just in case. Movie stub, mint.
Actually, we keep everything right here, just in case.
Right, just in case.
People lose stuff. That's why we can store purchase and warranty information automatically, so you won't have to search anymore. Circuit City, we're with you.
Floss? Who flosses anyway?
I floss.
I floss too.
I know this is an audio podcast, not a video one. That was an early Jonathan Mangum, the announcer for Let's Make a Deal, because he was an improv actor, and this was comedy acting. It was like one of his early gigs. So that was, I just had to throw that in there, just because nice Easter egg. Plus Circuit City, because of the, you know, the final round being the big Circuit City big screen. We still haven't really gotten into that, but we're almost there. So here's some of the stunts that were played on... Oh, wait, hang on. There's more catchphrases. In the event of a tie on Dog Eat Dog, the deciding vote goes to player who was last sent to the dog pound. Well, we're down to the last two contestants, which means it's time for a head-to-head competition to determine who tonight's top dog. Here's how the final challenge works. I'll give you a category. Then you pick which member of the dog pound you think is least likely to answer a trivia question in that category correctly. If they get it wrong, you get a point. If they get it right, dog pound gets a point. First to 3 points... gets all the money. Remember, once you pick someone, you can't pick them again. Got it? Yes. Let's put up the first category on the Circuit City big screen. And then it just repeats it. Remember, once you pick someone, you can't pick them again. Yeah, let's really, yeah. All right. Thank you so much for playing Dog Eat Dog. Yeah, this is the first American adaptation based on a British game show that Brooke Burns hosted. 10 years later was The Chase. Yeah. All right. So let's go with some of these games. Bungee Claw. The contestant is hung upside down above the water tank with a bungee cord. They are dropped into water 3 times. They must grab 4 rings within 3 attempts. Well, in 6-inch... Catwalk Runway. In 6-inch heels, the contestant has to walk down a balance beam suspended above a water tank in order to retrieve a purse at the end while walking back with said purse without falling off. There was no time limit, and they had 2 attempts to complete it. Celebrity Three-Way, similar to the category Before and After on Wheel of Fortune, and Smush, the contestant must find the common name shared by two celebrities. Earthquake Island, a contestant climbs a ladder mounted on a tilting island with rain on a limited amount of time with 2 minutes or 2.5. Flag Capture, the contestant climbs a net and gets the greatest number of flags in a limited amount of time. Glacier Run, the contestant must jump across glaciers in the pool and collect 8 hanging flags on a limited time of 3 minutes. He or she, on a panel of 6 subjects, contestant must guess which one is male or female. This normally involves having 5 cross-dressing men and 1 female, with the contestant having to guess which one of them was the female. The Ladder Wheel. Contestant crawls around a circular ladder, hanging in the air for a limited amount of time of 2 minutes to capture a flag. Low Genius. Contestant plays a trivia game against a child prodigy. All right. Mutant Celebrity. Contestant must identify famous celebrities from their distorted photographs. I saw that one. All right. Out on a Limb. Contestants enclosed in a large X-shaped figure where they must collect 4 red flags and 4 blue flags within the time limit of 90 seconds. In Season 1, Episode 2 of 2 Minutes. Completing all of one color first, followed by the other. Pandora's Box. Contestant grabs floating water markers and brings them to a box that was submerged underwater with a limited amount of time of 2 minutes. Pendulum Swing. Contestants place inside a swing and has to gain enough momentum to maneuver a full circle with a limited time of 2 minutes. Failure to complete the full circle lands contestant Dog Pound. This was one of the few stunts that was carried over from the original British version. Oh, Strip Games. Contestants made to perform a feat of skill of some sort. Every time a player made a mistake, they were removing an article of clothing if it was accomplished. Some of the stripping stunts could be a beanbag or a football into a target, making a hole-in-one on a miniature golf hole. With remove article of clothing exchange for a dart, apparently, in golf. Hangman with each missing letter causing article of clothing. And Strip Games were discontinued in Season 2. Wow, so they really did try and fix the show up for Season 2, but they couldn't figure it out. Oh, well, they screwed up. Maybe because all they remember was the Strip Games. That's not... Contestant, 90 seconds to cry based on thoughts or what the members of the Dog Pound were saying. At one tier, clear to face for them to win. Title of this stunt was a parody of Fear Factor because it's called Tear Factor. Tons of fun. The contestant is shown 3 sets of items. They must guess which of the 2 items is heavier. They win if they can get 2 of the 3 sets correctly. Treadmill Trivia. This is the one I was talking about. They rock on treadmill. 10 questions before falling off the treadmill. Every time a question's wrong, it gets faster. A variation of stunt was used in which a contestant was required to walk on a large wheel, which arbitrarily sped up through the round. A trivia ring challenge. Contestant must jump from a platform to grab a ring. They're then asked 5 questions and gets 5 attempts to jumping for the ring. Each correct answer brings the ring a little closer. Vomit Comet. I never saw this one. Place on contraption, spins them around the crane, 360, and reads... Oh, so this is like a precursor to Metal Samurai. Names and places, and you have to state the exact number of vowels in the name. Contestant had 90 seconds to give 8 correct answers. Contestant walks on a platform while being hit by water. They have to release 2 red flags and make it back to start before time runs out. And then there is photos of the interactive game. All right. Oh, look, a prop. A little prop pool filter pump. A little prop stair piece. The Circuit City screen. Wow. Lots of second floor... platforms. I guess I know what they're doing. And then that kind of... Oh! Hey! Is that one of the early forms of the Deal or No Deal weird screen with lit? That looks like an early screen with lit. Also, that just... Whatever is the white sheet of paper that they put on the side there, it looks a little blotched up. Oh, well. You can find out more on a wiki. So now we can get to what I really wanted to talk about, which was the game mechanic of the you vote somebody out and then they can vote you and stay. I like, to me, that is the main takeaway I love about Dog Eat Dog. That is what makes this show work, because it's, you know, you have team like voting you as the weakest link, thinking you can't do this. So now they have put stakes in the game. you getting voted off does not mean you're eliminated. It now means we've put stakes in this competition that we have just set forth. Because now, if you can succeed, you've redeemed yourself, and also you can say, screw you for not believing in me, which I think works in the show's advantage. And if they fail, well, you just eliminated a player, they really couldn't do it. So therefore, there is if-then statements when it comes to the game. And that is, to me, what makes this game really interesting. Because it's not necessarily... You can be the least liked person on the entire show. You can be the villain of this game show and win the show. Because they could vote you since game one. You're the weakest link, and you can complete all five challenges and still win because you outsmarted the dog pound by picking their least valued subjects. That is what makes this game very, very unique. That is what I think stands out about Dog Eat Dog. It's that game theory. Who do you think is bad at it? Because now there's a layer in that. Because of that previous camp of learning each other's moves, you can exploit that. Maybe you are really knowledgeable about pop culture, and you intentionally fuck up a quiz, and you've never seen a movie before in your life. Well, now we don't know. Or if it's something like you're an acrobat, you actually do like gymnastics for a living, and this is a challenge that involves like actually moving your body to do a flip. You can fuck up and pretend you're bad, because that way they assume, well, you're bad at this, I want you to do it, so that way you can actually prove you're good at it and vote someone out. So there is a cerebral thought of can you or can you not perform the challenge. So there's different game theories playing off of each other. Because you've added stakes to the game. There's a guaranteed 25,000, no matter what. It's either going to be five people or one, like a one versus 100. But what makes this stand out is that confidence game that comes within who do you vote for. Because even if you vote for somebody and they perform it well and they vote, then the game passes to the winner. And that's also what I love. If you've noticed, that's kind of like the rebound effect. If the person who you think fails the challenge completes it, they can vote out someone that voted for them. Which means that in the game theory, you can vote for the person you think is guaranteed to screw up. Or you can pick someone who's most likely to complete it, knowing that they're least likely to get voted off. Meaning if by some weird circumstance... the dog eat dog challenge is completed, you're safe. You have like a veto. So there's like multitude of theories when it comes to this sort of game. In addition to that, if you vote for someone who doesn't believe in you, well, that puts a target on your back, which makes it even fun because now there's game theory. Who do you want to keep with you in the head-to-head round, for instance? Who do you think is smart enough that you want to eliminate now before they end up in a trivia challenge? Things like that have to be on your mind. This is a show where the trivia does play a factor, but barely. It's not really the most cerebral trivia game, but it is one where it's pretty much all resting on one single question. And I love that aspect of it. Because the questions on Dog Eat Dog, they're not like $1 million questions on Millionaire. But they're not $1,000 questions on Millionaire either. They're in that perfect, world of who was, what is, name that. Like, for instance, who was the legendary, like the category's music, who performed the song Happy, the theme song to the Minions movies? In Despicable Me. Because it's a who sang that song from that one movie. Well, then you will have someone being stumped for 5 minutes because they couldn't figure out Pharrell Williams. That is what the show is in terms of trivia. This is also a show, I guess, you can't be a himbo to win. When it comes to the nudity, I think it was just like a shock provocative thing. And that is the big negative when it comes to the show. But what I like about the show is its variety in the challenges. It's not all heights. It's not all water. It's like a mix of match. It's like we hybrid the two to come up with something. And I do like the water challenges, and I do like the heights challenges. I think the heights and water challenges aren't really supposed to be spooky, fearful, but because this was the time of Fear Factor, they really wanted to try that out. They really wanted to make it like, oh, this is icy cold water. Oh, you are situated 40 feet in the air. It's just, I don't care. I don't want that. It's not, it really is just it's a skill challenge. And this is, you couldn't do this challenge outside. So, I like the fact that the game rests on trivia too. So it's because every single time you see a game show that says we are doing physical and mental challenges, the physical is always some sort of skill-based challenge, some heights-based challenge, a race, a climbing thing. But the mental is never really in play. Have you noticed that? Whenever you hear the term physical and mental challenge, usually the mental challenge is basically social decisions. Who do you vote out? Or it's a fear-based challenge, and it's mind over matter. You're eating the gross shit. Ooh. Oh, it's just all in your head. Don't worry about it. Don't you love? No, that's not. Oh, no, the snake's in spite. No, that's not a mental challenge. That's just eliciting a trigger to someone's PTSD over an overlying phobia that they have. That's not entertaining television. That's kind of fucked up, to be honest. No, what should be mental is trivia. And, I mean, the British version talked about trivia. And this game has a bit of trivia. In fact, that's how you win the money, is trivia. So for Dog Eat Dog, it's kind of fun. Because a lot of the games I seem like, I want to do that. That seems like fun. Like Out on a Limb, where they have to go across the bridge as it's spinning. That just looks like a really fun like ride that you would get at the Ferris, like in a county fair, like a Ferris wheel. And it's like, okay, I want to try that game. But a lot of the challenges suck. And I would say the reason for its failure was, one, Brooke Burns. I don't think she's a good host. I think she's okay on Masterminds. I think she was okay on The Chase. I just don't think when it came to trivia, she's really the best at it. I think they really wanted to go with beauty over brain, and then brains are... They really did not know how to advertise Brooke Burns when it came to this show. And that to me is what makes it kind of but they don't care. It's the Baywatch lady. Hey, look, she's from Baywatch and she's in a bikini and she's at a pool. That's what she wants. Sex appeal. They really didn't go with her abilities to ad lib and her ability to try and talk to contestants. That's also why she's not really good on The Chase or on Masterminds, because she's trying to play both ends. Like, I'm on your side, but also watch out for the bad person. It doesn't fit her character. I think Brooke Burns, the host, would be best when it is something that is even lighter than all of these. Like, don't even give her a quiz show. Give her a puzzle-solving show. Give her a celebrity guessing show. Get her a show that's basically just like Mousetrap. Something like that would be more in Brooke's field. Not really quiz, even though she's hosted 3 quiz shows. And that's if you consider Dog Eat Dog a quiz show. It's a hybrid. It's a stunt show with a quiz element. It is a 1v1v1v1v1v1 game. So there is never a way for the contestants to lose everything. At the end of the day, either 5 contestants are walking out of their lemonade with no money, and one person wins the $25,000, or the losers get to split the $25,000, and only one player loses and gets nothing. So there's only going to be either 1 or 5 in the element of who wins the prize money. And that is something I think is really redeemable about the show, because it kind of has that nice variety of, like, with friends like this, who's the enemy within, things like that, that whole someone will win, but we don't know who. And there's a chance, and there's that redemption round, because that final round is quiz, but it is dog eat dog, because now the one player is the one making the decisions of who should fail at each challenge, and the challenge is simply who can get this one question wrong. That's it. I love that format, because it's now speeding up the game into just being a quiz. Who can get this one question right? It all rests on this one trivia question. That is what makes Dog Eat Dog, I would say, a successful game show, is if they focused on those questions and those markets and that ability. I think that is the problem with Dog Eat Dog, was the challenges in Brooke. They needed a better host for Dog Eat Dog. I think they needed someone who felt like more like a, not Joe Rogan, because I think Joe is, like, plays up that dirtbag persona a lot on Fear Factor and now in podcasting, which is, I guess, all people do now. I think for something like Dog Eat Dog, it needs to feel like someone who is street smart, you would say. Someone who is not really, who loves pop culture, but not bookworm. But I can't think of 2001. I wouldn't think modern day format. So from here on out, modern day format of Dog Eat Dog. Here's the pitch. So we go back to the studio. We change the look now. I think we should not go with cages. I think it should look like a, because you can easily social and make it all social distance and friendly, because you can just distance everybody out. Make the set look, instead of like Dog Eat Dog, like with the cages and the industrial design, I think you should keep the pool. You should have a modernized video monitor. You should definitely keep like some of the cranes and the heights things. But I think you should make it look more like a, what's the best way to say it? Kind of like a, I want to say a sports arena, but make it look like a classic ass game show. Like, these are podiums, and this is a screen. Make it feel like this is like American Ninja Warrior. Then, look how edgy this show can be. Because I think that's going to be where you need to take the direction of this show if you're ever going to try and reboot it. I would say maybe get like a... You'd probably get someone like a sports commentator to host this. Let's see, it's NBC. So I would still say stick it to NBC. Probably, because it's hard, because they just do quiz shows. They just don't, there's not really some sort of like hard edge host, which can't fit this. It has to feel like a competition, but it has to feel like it's a strategy base, because that's what I'm aiming for. It's a strategy based show based on hustling the others to pick you. So I would, like Seth Meyers, I guess. But Seth is smart. He knows news. Well, we'll just say Seth for the time being. You have your six contestants, and they have the little pedestals, and they have the little, like, screens, and they get to vote. But now the challenges are going to be more like hybrid challenges. I would want them to feel more like a quiz leads to the stunt, or the stunt is like a two-parter, like a Fear Factor, not Fear Factor, like a Survivor. Like a, you have to grab the key that unlocks the treasure chest, but you have to figure out the three-digit code, and the three-digit code is on three different pillars, and they're on totally different areas. So you have to run and grab, and you have like 60, like 2 minutes. So it becomes kind of like a weird challenge of like, can you unlock this lock and get the thing before time runs out? Something like that, or a playful defuse the bomb challenge, or something that is like a, like that is really just like cleverly silly, like find the needle in the haystack. Something that's like a minute to win it, but is 2 minutes instead of 1 minute. Can you build this big a tower? Can you, like, instead of doing, like, a weird stack, make it 100? Make it 100 stack of cups. Something like that would be where my mind would be at. You do the quiz on the treadmill is where I keep thinking as the iconic challenges that should be replicated and brought back. If you're going to do we're not doing anything gross, I will say no eat the gross shit. No strip challenges, because I think the whole nudity thing is kind of just weird. I think that's just fake provocative. And plus, you can easily just sell an X-rated version of that in the future. I think they should not do... I think head-to-head challenges could continue to be more of the endurance challenges, but it should be more like clear-cut. Like, after 2 minutes, whoever has the most wins, or whoever has the least is eliminated. Like, something like that. You have a quantifier to determine the winner. That is where I would lean towards. The challenges need to feel more, I would say more Saturday night. Like, make it I would make it American Ninja Warrior makes a game show, but indoors with a cool LED screen. And it becomes like, and one of the five challenges always has to involve a easy quiz element. Like, it has to feel like you are playing a late-night game show. Like, you have to just get five correct answers in a row in 2 minutes, and they're all true-false. Like, that's it. Or they have to feel, like, weird, like, you can't figure this out. Like for instance, one of the minute-to-minute challenges I liked was they had cans of pennies, and they had to shake it to determine how many are in each box. One of those should be the challenge on Dog Eat Dog. Like, can you determine if you can hear what you said? Do you can win? Like, something like that would feel like a better Dog Eat Dog challenge. I understand they want to go over the top with water and heights and all that, but I would say keep those till the finals. Like, start out small, like a trivia game, a hangman challenge, a quiz game. Then, like, going to Act 3 and 4, it's a two-part challenge. You have to, like, the treadmill trivia. And then it gets to the head-to-head round where it's you're both on the wheel. And then you get to I guess not Circuit City, so I guess it has to be Best Buy, because that's the other depleting electronic shop going on right now. Or maybe GameStop, power to the players. But something like that. You know what? Actually, maybe like if you're going to go for someone, maybe like a WWE superstar, if you're going to do Dog Eat Dog. Like, because NBC has the Peacock, and Peacock is WWE Network. So you can get Sasha Banks. You can get maybe Becky Lynch. I'm thinking like a diva. Well, no, they're not called divas. They're just the women's division. So you can get Maryse. Remember Maryse? Maybe you can get Charlotte Flair. Maybe Charlotte Alexa Bliss. Actually, Alexa might actually fit that more. He is in a character. Because I think you're trying to go for more of a wrestler. You need to go for a WWE superstar on this one. Who can actually enunciate questions, too. And that's also a challenge because none of them can really read promos. But I would make Dog Eat Dog feel like a game show with challenges. Like these are just easy challenges. Like, can you hop into this and go, like, you're in like the little potato sack, and you go from one end to the other of the studio in 60 seconds? Things like that would be the challenge. Like, easy, quick, fast challenges. Because I think my aim for the pitch of a rebooted Dog Eat Dog is you're never really going to see the same challenges repeated until, like, season 2. Because then in season 2, we're picking our favorites, getting rid of the ones that people didn't like, and bringing new ones. We repeat the process, season 3, repeat the process. but there's always going to be one that's like a quiz game element that is kind of like the iconic big balls, just like how in the inn it's the final question, which I also really enjoy. That is where I would lean towards when it comes to Dog Eat Dog. The main takeaway for Dog Eat Dog and why I really enjoy this show is not the challenges. The challenges kind of are okay. A lot of them suck, especially season one. It's not really Brooke. I think Brooke was not really like in host mode half the time for it. It felt really like a cheaper version of Fear Factor. But there is tension in the voting aspect and in decision-making, which I feel is the main takeaways. The decision points in each of the games mean something, and I think that is why I like Dog Eat Dog. Forget the challenges. Challenges in Brooke, meh. The set, it's of its era. It should be rebooted. It is the who do you think cannot complete the challenge? Decision point one. Then because of that, it's pass-fail. If pass, who voted for you is out. If fail, you're eliminated. They were right. And then it leads to the, what if there's a tie? Well, last one voted makes the decision. And it keeps going into a cutthroat competition until one's left standing. And when that one person's left standing, it's just a sped-up version of the game, but as a quiz. That is what I love. Because who do you challenge? If pass, they get point. If fail, you get point. First to three wins, there's five. So you guarantee each person might have to get one question, leading to the fifth and final question, possibly making the difference, and you have no say in it because you don't know what the category is. That is what makes Dog Eat Dog a really interesting show. I like it a lot more than other game shows. But to reboot it would require a lot of overwork in terms of challenges, in terms of competition, and in terms of diverse casting. Because a lot of the time, the Dog Eat Dog casting was one-note Fear Factor contestant. And I don't want one-note Fear Factor contestant on Dog Eat Dog. I think it'll be fun to have tall people, short people, big people, little people, because you might astonish people. Maybe the guy who you think is out of shape can actually complete the challenge. And that's my other thing I would do if I ever reboot the show, is I would not do a training camp. I would just make it, you have to size them up right there on the studio because you just met for the first time. You do know their occupation. You do know a little something about themselves because of the profile package, but that's all you're getting. They're not lying to you when they say they're a doctor, but they're not telling you what they're a doctor of. Do you pick the medicine category on the doctor, or do you pick it with the social media manager? Something like that would be what Dog Eat Dog would be. So should the show be rebooted? I think so. In this world of COVID, it makes sense to try and put this show up because there is no audience necessarily. And a lot of the challenges that you see in modern day game shows could actually be adapted into this one, that you don't have to do strip challenges and you don't have to do provocative who's the male. It could actually be something that is smart and savvy and kind of just like easy, basic challenges. Like someone has to assemble a stat, like a salmon ladder, and build the ladder to try and ring a bell. Something like that is all you need to do. Someone needs to, they get like 100 boxes and they have to make like a little box fort to climb up and grab like a little brass ring. Something like that would be fun. And then you can make it silly, like, oh, we have a fake set of an office to do this challenge. That's allowed. You can do that. Because Dog Eat Dog had a really weird set. You can, like, theoretically have one side be the voting podiums, the pool, the little elimination podiums, the big screen next to the elimination podiums. And then the next side is kind of like the second stage where there is a built-up set for maybe like a climb up the tilted stair challenge. So you can see the guy keep falling over and over again because they can't figure things out. Something like that works. You don't want this show to be too... It needs to feel as watered down as possible for this to work. Because if the challenges are watered down and they can be replicated and then little nooks and crannies, and it's like you can now play along. That is what the show should be. I don't think you should really get like your mom and dad to sit around and watch. Let's watch someone strip naked. And that's not really a fun afternoon. Just like how anything that's a fear factor or a punishment kind of challenge, it just, I understand the appeal of that, especially in things like Holy Moly, because, oh man, they're getting shocked because they're wearing shocker things, or on Don't, oh, they're eating the spicy thing, ooh, or things like Big Brother, oh, they're getting a bad haircut because they want to win the power of veto. It's just, that does not really resonate with me at all. None of those challenges do. But if you can get rid of all of those and just like flat out get to point A to point B in 60 seconds or survive the 60 seconds, don't do this. That's all you need to do. Like a lot of the challenges on things like Don't could have been brought onto this one as long as it was, you know, not that embarrassing weird shit that was really all the rage of that. That's kind of the challenges that doesn't make sense. I think what I would go for is something that would feel like you've seen it before, but it's just slightly different. That's where my, like you can do like a quick monkey bar challenge. Like you have, like you have to just go 20 feet down a monkey bar. If you fall in the water, you get two more attempts. If you can't make it to the end, you lose. So it's just a basic upper body strength challenge. Who do you think can't do it? Vote for the loser. Bop, 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 bop. That's all you need to do. Will people watch it? I think so. Because the challenges will play a role. But the idea is that you're supposed to have some sort of multiple layer of play along. You have to feel like there's variety. If there's more variety, there's more challenges, you don't know what's coming up next, which makes the games more fun because now you can't predict, oh, this is the word guessing game. Oh, this is the physical challenge. No, now you don't know. We could be playing four physical challenges. But we definitely know that the final round is going to be some big elaborate stunt kind of thing that would incorporate like the most of the set. And then the final round, the final quiz. That is what I would do when it comes to Dog Eat Dog. Should I recommend you watch it? Maybe a couple episodes. Is it the best show? No. Is it the worst? No. It's really right in the middle. It's really a C show. It really... It should have been canceled after two seasons. But can it have lasted long enough? Yes. And I think that's how you fix it. You have to have variety of the challenges. You have to make it feel like you can make a board game out of this. You can make a home game out of this. You can invite your friends over and come up with the Dog Eat Dog Week. Something. But they couldn't figure it out. And that's the shame. A good game show can obviously be modernized into a board game, into a home game, into a, like that's all you need to be. It's like little mini beat the clock challenges. That's all. That's all you need to do. Oh well, that's gonna do it for us here on Game Shows, I suppose. Thank you so much for Patreon donations. Join me next time. We'll be talking about another great game show, I suppose. Until next time, big smooch. Ah.